Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another of those incidents where I take my Louisville magazine column Smiley's Picks into the studios of WUORL. And my guest today is Melissa Bernstrom, who is the associate producer of Kentucky Author Forum. Welcome to the studio, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm particularly intrigued with aspects of your February 22 meeting at the Kentucky Center, because it's not only is it unusual for this program, but it's also, I think, unusual for the Kentucky Author Forum to have one of the great physicists, scientists, futurists.
We have had scientists before, but not physicists. And we just thought this was a great way to kick off the spring portion of our season, to look ahead at the future. He's going to talk to us about what our lives will be like in the year 2100. And I think it's going to be a really exhilarating vision.
Well, yes, the name of this this physicist, tenured professor, co-creator of the Springfield theory is Michio Kaku, and he's written a great book called The Physics of the Future. I have to say I haven't read it. I determined this morning that before we met, I would get to grips with string theory and chat away with sort of lightness of tone about the meaning of string theory, but I'm afraid it completely defeated me.
Well, and I think you would have to be talking to someone other than me to discuss string field theory. Yes. It makes me think of things like Cat's Cradle, but that's not what it is at all.
Right. And while we're talking, I mean, we're talking about science and we're talking about physics, but there is a realm of science, and particularly physics, quantum mechanics and stuff like that, which isn't really about nuts and bolts at all. It's like an intellectual discipline. It reminds you it used to be called natural philosophy. Mm-hmm. What I mean is they sometimes dream and think and talk in terms which can only be described as spiritual.
That is very true. And looking through this book, Michio Kaku's Physics of the Future, I would say he is a very spiritual man. He talks at some length about how the science of the future should be used, that it should be used with wisdom and with compassion. And he quotes Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I would say it is a spiritual pursuit for him.
And I don't mean that in the sense of strictly religious.
I mean, no, I don't either.
You have to belong to one of the major religions to understand
Not
this
at
guy.
All.
It's much more. I mean, after all, what he is probing, as far as I can gather from my massive command of string field theory, what he's investigating is the very nature of the essence of the universe and the it's not the God particle, is it? It's the single unit which explains.
It's the theory of everything, and
yes.
He does write in this book about how as a child he saw a picture with the byline that, you know, famous scientist dies, and he learned that that scientist was Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time of his death, Einstein was working on this thing called the theory of everything, which
yes.
would be a tiny, tiny mathematical equation that would explain everything.
I know, it's unbelievable.
And that's part of what Michio Kaku said got him interested in science.
Yes, and Hawking, who recently celebrated his 70th birthday,
yes.
Hawking is I think, a thinker on a similar plane.
Absolutely.
Isn't he? And listening to him talk is not like listening to a nuts and bolts mechanic. It's like listening to or reading his stuff, since he's handicapped. But reading his stuff reads like an arcane branch of philosophy.
Absolutely.
So do you think Michio Kaku's talk on February 22nd is going to be above our heads? Or?
No, I don't believe that he will be an academic at all. He has radio shows and television shows. He's got a great sense of humor, very energetic, very entertaining. And I think he really strives to help people understand science and how it can be used in everybody's daily lives.
Some of the highlights of his recent interview on this station would lead one to believe that he enjoys the futurist aspects of his job.
He talked about something else that really made a big impact on him as a child, is he was a huge fan of Buck Rogers. So he said he's been interested in the future since he was a young kid.
Yes, and talking here about something called Moore's Law, which says computer power doubles every 18 minutes. And we see here that your cell phone has more computer power than all of NASA when they put two men on the moon.
That's a pretty amazing statistic.
Isn't that astounding?
Isn't it?
The
puts
other
in
one
perspective.
That struck me, a birthday card that sings happy birthday to you, that birthday card has a chip in it with more computer power than all the Allied forces of 1945. I mean, it's truly alarming. I don't know if you've heard these stories that if the motor car had expanded at the same rate of development as the computer, they'd cost about $24, do 2,000 miles to the gallon, and be incapable of collisions or flat tires or any of these things. The development in computers. Who were we talking to? It wasn't on this program. Who had been involved in the earliest days of computers when they sat around for 5 hours waiting for a computer the size of a city block to add two and two?
Right, right. Things have changed, and they have changed very rapidly.
And he says it will double every 18 months. So we can say a year and a half from now, we'll be talking about the clunky old days of early 2012.
Absolutely.
I think we'll go back to this thing about his spirituality, because I think there's a spiritual component in absolutely everything. And I go rabbiting on about the spiritual component in music, and the difference between a decent composer and a great composer is a decent composer entertains you, and a great composer moves music from his soul to your soul, and it is a spiritual transfer. When you start staring into these mysteries of the universe, it's awe-inspiring, isn't it? Whether you're dealing with the size of the universe or the smallness of much of the material he's theorizing.
It is awe-inspiring, and I think that's going to be part of what he's going to bring to this interview with James Canton on the 22nd of February.
Yes.
We will catch a glimpse of that awesomeness.
And tell me a bit about Canton. This is a difficulty, isn't it? It's not a difficulty, as I'm demonstrating clearly this morning. It's hard to find interviewers who have the necessary intellectual equipment to question somebody like Michio Kaku, is it not?
Well, we think James Canton is an excellent match for him. He describes himself as a futurist. He's a social scientist. He's an author himself. He told me when I spoke to him on the phone that Michio Kaku has interviewed him in the past. And he advises global Fortune 1000 companies on trends in innovation, everything from medical developments to business innovations to climate change to the economies. So this is a man who is really looking at the future and how it's going to change everything. And so we felt he was an absolutely terrific match for Dr. Kaku.
And before we came on air, we were talking about developments like a contact lens, which will allow you to go to a party and see what everyone's name is and what their background is and your previous
associations. Absolutely, or you can blink and be on the internet.
Yes, I think that's a rather terrifying prospect.
I would agree with you, but interesting nonetheless.
Certainly don't do it while texting and driving. Well, let's be sure we've got all the details right. Before I do that, I mean, this is, you say, not a departure for you, but at the same time, the Kentucky Author Forum is one of those institutions in Louisville for which the words nationally renowned can truly apply, and the programs you make from the forum are available and not all over the United States.
They are. We have been doing this we're in our 17th season now. We started in 1996. It was a program founded by Mary Moss Greenbaum, who is still the producer of the University of Louisville Kentucky Author Forum. And we have had an amazing array of guests, everyone from Malcolm Gladwell to Hillary Clinton when she was First Lady, Madeleine Albright, Dr. Jane Goodall, Wynton Marsalis, Roseanne Cash. We've covered a lot of topics with a lot of very distinguished guests. And we have been able to do this in part because of our collaborations with other people in the city, people like WFPL, who records all of our shows, and KET, who tapes them. And through KET, they are distributed nationally to PBS member stations nationwide.
And again, the date is Wednesday, February 22. It takes place at the Kentucky Center. It's called The Physics of the Future. It's a huge topic, so I would suggest that you visit www.kentuckyauthorforum.com and or call 589-2884. Thank you very much, Melissa Bernstrom.
Thank you.